Have you ever met someone for the first time and felt as if you have known them forever? That's how I felt meeting Joanna Peters. Joanna is warm, friendly, and an expert on creative resilience. She addresses the questions, what stops us from being creative? What is creative? Why do we want to be creative? I'm Becca Lewis, and in this Shift the Story podcast, Joanna shares her insight into the interaction into being creative and being commercial, and the power of trust. You will probably feel as if you have known Joanna forever too. For sure, she is helping us all shift the story together. Before we started recording, Joanna, we were starting to have this wonderful conversation about creativity and dance and art, and I thought we better stop talking together and just start recording, because I love what you do, and creativity is just such an important part of life, and that's what you do. You talk about creativity and how to be relevant in creativity, so why don't you tell people what that means a little bit?
I call myself a creativity strategist because I think we all have this real desire to create. We have this real drive, and I think it's really innate to so many of us, but it often doesn't happen. It's so easy to say, oh, I would love to do more dancing or more art, or I'd love to learn the piano or take up pottery, write a novel. I mean, yet we don't do it. But we know when we can do it, it adds so much to our lives. So I'm really interested in the processes that stop us from getting where we want to be with that, and how we can just become more creative and more fulfilled through that. And I find that just a really fascinating area to my own interest. And it means I get to work with amazing people.
Absolutely. Creative. Oh, yes, the creatives. But I guess I have to ask you, because I don't know, how did you... So what creative art area are you most interested in yourself? How did that happen? How did you start coaching and talking about creative strategies, which we all need so desperately?
My background is that I did a lot of music as a child. I thought about going to music college as a violinist. I changed my mind. I went to university and did a degree in English literature. But I went into magazine publishing, and my second job was on quite a important classical music magazine, a very international classical music magazine, which was wonderful. I just got to write about and think about and talk about music and put it into words and create pages. And it was this amazing combination of things. And I stayed in publishing. I did an MBA, a business master's. I went on and I ran lots of magazines in lots of different fields. But I always loved this intersection between being very creative, but having a kind of structure for it, doing it to meet the need of a reader or an audience, and making it commercial. Because if you want to be creative as a lifestyle, you need to find a way to make it pay for itself in a way that's comfortable for you. And if you don't want to do that, then being creative is the most wonderful, wonderful hobby. So I play the violin still. I do that just for myself, and I don't accept any kind of paid work for it. For me, that is just something for me, because I don't want the pressure of making money for it. So that's how I became interested in the whole creativity sector, the creative world. How one builds a business, I suppose it's the same thing. It's word of mouth. It's getting to know people. It's talking about what we do. I run my own podcast. You know what fun podcasting is, called the Creative Life Show. Well, I get to talk to fantastic creatives about their creative life, and particularly their creative challenge. So it's been a gradual journey from corporate creativity, but actually I left there in the end, and it took me a while to realize that I'd become far too removed personally from the creative side, that I actually just lit me up.
Wow. Yeah, so many things you said. We don't see each other, but I've been nodding like, yes, yes, yes. Because I make that distinction also. I do some creative things that have nothing to do with earning any money, and I don't ever want it to. But then on the other hand, being creative and profitable is just such and an important part of what we're talking about. And that so many of us get stuck in, well, I'm being creative, but there's no profit in the other end of it. And that, I love that that's one of the things that you're talking to people about.
I think just being really clear why we want to be creative. But we can do the most uncreative job in the world and still be really fulfilled by what we do outside it. And we can do the most creative job in the world, but if we're not making the money from it, it will just become a source of frustration. So that's where yes. I start from often with people, is that what need is going on here?
I think that's a great place. And when you were talking about this whole subject, it took me back. And since we started talking about me as a choreographer, it took me back to my other, lifetime where I was doing that. And I had made the decision that I wanted the dance that we were doing to be accessible to the public. I didn't want to be, we were doing dance, which is, kind of where it was at the time I was dancing. I wanted it to be something that kinetically people moved to and understood. So that idea of making it accessible to everyone is just really amazing. So you talk about strategies. Do you have a favorite strategy about how that works, or any of those things that you can share with those of us who sometimes get stuck?
Oh, gosh. Well, let's think about the getting stuck thing. So we've decided that we want to do something. We want to take a creative project further. We've decided whether we want it to be profitable or not. So I work a lot about what I call creative resilience, although I don't like to introduce too much jargon. But basically what it is that gets us through those times of difficulty and challenge. Because if you're going to be creative, we have this idea that it's all somehow butterflies and marvelous and feeling so fulfilled and, oh my goodness, I'm a creative. And of course, we know that it's not like that at all. That, when we're trying to write that book, we're trying to get that painting right, we pace round and we just have to eat chocolate and swear at ourselves a bit and go, why am I so whatever, lazy, so foolish, so unmotivated, why can't I get my ideas clear? We know that's what it's like, but that's kind of part of the process. And one of the things I talk about a lot with my clients is this sense of trusting ourselves, of understanding that we've come to this place of wanting to do that because something inside us has said this is valuable. I think of it in terms of fascination. There's something about this process that is fascinating to us. And the word fascinate has got this amazing history. The Latin form meant to bewitch, and it kind of overrides this rational thinking. This need to create is not a logical thing. It's pulling at a very deep need. And actually beginning to understand that for ourselves, I think can help us to get over those moments where saying, well, the reason I'm so frustrated by this is that I'm just fascinated by, can I get this novel to work? What would happen if I introduce this character? What would happen if I introduced blue into that picture? And it's about the understanding that we're fascinated by the process of what we're doing. And that part of that it's about exploring. We don't have a map. We're going into the unknown, but saying we're doing it because we're somehow drawn in by it. And that's okay. And I think particularly if we want to make that into anything commercial, we need to also have a focus on, it needs to turn into a result. Now, if you're doing it purely for pleasure, in a way like with my violin, you don't need to have that results focus. If you're going to write a novel, you need to want to have that novel finished in the end, unless it's a creative project, which is fine. So there's always, alongside that sense of I'm fascinated in this moment, there's a sense of this is what I want to achieve. This is what do I want to achieve in today's 15 minutes of writing, whatever. It's I want to get those first couple of pages tighter if I'm editing, or I want to see what happens I want to try introducing this character and see how it feels. So having a sense of where you're going at any particular time. But I think underpinning all that is actually a sense of trust in your own senses and emotions. And I think that is what defines creatives for me. So if you're an accountant, you're working in a role that's, you have to be perceptive of processes. Does X add Y equal this? Are those processes clear? But if we're creative, we're saying we are attuned to our senses and our perceptions and our emotions. And that is where it's coming from. So we have on one level to be able to say, I trust those. I have in me something that calls me to this form of creativity. I have to learn to trust it. I have to learn to step back and listen and say, is to say, yes, this direction is valid. It's hard, but I need to continue with it. Or actually, this is really jangling. When I think about this, when I step back, it's discordant. It's dissonant. This is something that's really not working here. And having the kind of space and the trust in oneself to listen to that, to make the time to develop that awareness. So there are those three things there for me that really underpin the kind of inner drive to create.
Wow. There were so, I just kept thinking about all the things you were saying, and that idea that creativity involves listening to it, the intuition, and knowing and paying attention to it. That is such a key point, isn't it?
For me, it's quite fundamental. We have nowhere else to go other than our own. Essentially, we're putting things together and see what happens. We're not building a wall with bricks. We're working with concepts that people haven't seen before, that only we can bring to life in that way.
And I love that word, fascinating. What an interest. It made me think about curiosity and imagination all married together.
Yeah, I think curiosity is that big factor. It's, in a way, they're very similar. I think curiosity, that sense of just asking the question, what if? What if I did that?
Oh, I was just going to say that what if question really demands us to let go of how we think it's going to be and explore the possibilities of how it might be. And that is the creative process, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it interesting? For me, it's that sense of letting go, but also it's a sense of taking control, because I think there's a danger of seeing it as completely letting go. It's kind of like, well, I'll just paint and see what happens.
Yes, yes.
And it's like, no, there's something you are consciously exploring here. I'm fascinated by the process of it. I don't mind at this point what the result is, but this is the path I'm exploring. Otherwise, you run around in a fog. you have to choose a path, even if it's only for the next 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yes. I'm thinking about, as you're talking, I'm thinking about when I coach people, I always talk about the fact that I completely believe in what people might consider impossibilities, but it always starts with the practical. And if you start the other way around, you'll never get there. But if you start with the practical, the possibilities are endless. And I think it's, you know, going back to dance training, and I know so many people train in different ways, but dance training teaches you so much discipline. And then once you know that discipline, then you can leap and fly and twirl across the stage and do anything you want, but you can't do it until you can't really have full expression of your creativity until you've learned the skill of it.
Yes, and I think what's really interesting about dances, and actually I use dances as an analogy for this kind of core stability, is it's not even, if you want to be able to do a sort of a wonderful jump, you don't just work on your legs, do you? Your whole core has to be strong and firm, and sort of years of training and that daily habit of strengthening and stretching. And yes, it's only with that you can do those extraordinary things.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. It's just, I love that we have so many things that we talk about the same, but I'm thinking you probably have a really cool story about somebody that, or stories. Do you have any story that you'd love to share about people doing this, or how something has come out because they've learned this, some of your creative strategies?
Oh gosh. I will talk about, one of the things I talk about with people is about their relationship to other people around them. And I think that a lot of creatives, although we think we're creating for other people, actually we have this message that we should create for ourselves. We should be writing this novel ourselves. Yes. We somehow lock ourselves in a garret until we create our novel. So there was one person I was working with who was very much up against this idea of she needed to create things that were good and worthy. And she came from an academic background, which is particularly bad for this. You know, it's all about sort of the individual and their research and what they have to say about it and their contribution to the academic dialogue. I mean, you know, academia is fantastic, but not always. So the way she was finding it extremely difficult to create things, so presentations and stories and workshops, things she was really motivated by the outcome of it, but simply couldn't find a way of getting there. And there, what we identified for her was that despite that background, actually what massively motivated her was about creativity as a means of connection between people. And we went through a process of, well, what would it mean? Well, how are you imagining this? And she said, well, actually, I imagine this room full of people all sharing ideas with each other. Like, that's it. That is what is motivating you, the fact that your ideas only are a starting point. So we did quite a lot of visualization around how it would be, about the community she was presenting for, the community she was engaging with, the community who came to her not because she was a guru or a creative or an expert in some way, but because she was an interesting voice who would perhaps ask interesting questions and throw things into the discussion, throw in creativity. I mean, she's an amazingly creative person. And that was a really liberating experience for her, because it was really understanding what was the fascination for her. And the fascination was like, oh, how can I use this to get people sharing their ideas together and becoming excited about this thing that I'm so excited about? So her what if was, how can I create these papers and presentations that really allow that to happen? And just that shift in thinking actually was a massively important.
Yeah, I'm smiling. Just that shift in thinking. Yes, that shift in thinking is always massively important.
That's exactly what you do. I know. It's just, yes, it all starts with the way we think about it, doesn't it?
All of it. Every single thing. And not just the big creative things. Every single thing we do really revolves around what we think we can do, what's possible, what's the worldview, what have people told us, how much have we believed, how much are we going to shift? And it's just, but being creative is such a beautiful way to go about it. I think it's the basis of going about shifting your point of view, really.
I think it is, although, as I said, I don't think it's necessarily the easiest, because actually if you do go into a job where you say, right, my job is to check this data entry, it's, you know, on one level, much easier. You have to keep your focus and your concentration. But yes, there is only, the only place to go is your own head. And therefore, if your head's not working, you're in trouble, as we know.
Yes, we very much know. Well, as we've been talking, I've been thinking, I want to listen to this again, because there were so many key points in what you said that just really resonated with me. And I know it's going to resonate with other people who are listening. So where is the best place for people to find you?
Oh, a couple of places to connect with me. One is my website, which is joannapeters.com. Now, Peters is P-I-E-T-E-R-S. And there you can find various free resources, a creatives distraction buster, and a free program of 15 days of creative inspiration. Or you can also find the Creative Life Show, my podcast, and sign up so you can hear about new episodes as they come up and other things. I'm working on a book at the moment, so I'll be beginning to share some of these ideas a lot more with my mailing list. Or on Facebook, I have a group called Creative Lifers. So if you come on Facebook and search for Creative Lifers, at the moment we're a small community, but it's all about supporting each other through that process of being creative and supporting and challenging and asking questions and celebrating in the end what we have achieved.
Oh my gosh. I looked up all these things. I subscribed to your podcast, and I will put all of these resources in the show notes. So if someone's listening thinking, what was that she just said? All you have to do is go to the show notes on the shift and they'll all be there. And I cannot wait to read your book. I'm positive it's going to be fabulous.
Oh, Becca, thank you so much for your interest in it. And it's fantastic to come and talk about it.
I love it. Okay, so I have that one last question for you. Here it is. What is the one piece of advice that you would give anyone in the midst of changing a life story?
Trust yourself. Trust yourself that you have the resources. You may not be able to access them at the moment. And it doesn't mean that the answer that's currently at the top of your head is the correct one. But trust yourself that once you start to go on the journey, it may be on the other side of more pain and challenge, and no journey is going to be on a completely smooth path. But trust yourself that that journey is worthwhile. If you're feeling pulled to personal change in that way, there is a reason that you're feeling the need to follow that path. So trust in that outcome. Trust that there is an outcome there, and that although you can't see it yet, this call that you are following is worthwhile.
That is such beautiful advice, one we need to listen to every single day. I'm so grateful that you came on this podcast, Joanna. I'm just delighted to have met you and shared your story with people. And I know people are going to be getting a great deal of benefit out of knowing you and following what you do.
It's been a great pleasure, Becca. Thank you so much.
Trust yourself. You have the resources. Trust that the call you are following is worthwhile. So inspiring and comforting. Thank you, Joanna. Find more about Joanna in her show notes at theshift.com/podcast. And this is episode 91. If you haven't yet, would you rate and possibly review this podcast? It takes just a moment, but I am forever grateful. And come join us at the Shift the Story Facebook group and let us know what is going on with you. Till next time, let's continue to shift the story together.